Tonight I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes about our incredible, incredible inheritance in Jesus Christ. God is giving us an inheritance beyond anything that you or anyone has ever realized. You can't. It's unspeakable. Paul called it unspeakable. He said it is beyond imagination. It is so tremendous what God plans for his people and the inheritance that we have in him. I'd like to just read a few verses for you quickly to help us get started. I'd like you to turn with me to Galatians, the third chapter, and I want to start reading there, the third chapter and the 29th verse to begin with. Praise God. Galatians is where I want to start. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just let me get... Praise God. Here it is, Galatians, the third chapter, the 29th verse. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you're in Christ, and we're in Christ, we are Abraham's seed. And isn't that wonderful? I was just reading the book of Genesis again, and Abraham is so tremendous. But one of the greatest men of all times, Abraham. And I was reading that and kind of a little envious that these descendants of Abraham, but I'm a descendant of Abraham. I'm of the tribe of Judah. I don't know where you folks are from. I'm of Judah, praise God. Because I'm of the seed of Christ, because I'm in the tribe of Judah. That's the reigning tribe. Isn't that tremendous? You are part of Abraham's seed, and you are the seed of Christ, and he was the tribe of Judah, so that makes us Abraham's seed of the tribe of Judah. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's wonderful, isn't it? Praise God. Then in the fourth chapter of Galatians, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We're adopted. We're born into the kingdom. We're adopted into the kingdom. We're chosen of God. We're grafted in. He tells, uses all these descriptions to describe us being in Christ. And here, and I love this one, adopted. And because you are sons, we're adopted sons. This is Galatians, Gentiles. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. That's dad. That's the closest and a very tender father. Close father. Jesus, our father. God, our father. Our daddy. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. We're sons of God. And if a son, then an heir of God. Through Christ, we are an heir of God. We have an inheritance. We are an heir of God. What a thing to be an heir of a great family, an heir of Rockefeller's family, heir of some of the wealth that's coming to you and all that's coming. Listen, folk, just hold it. We are an heir of God Almighty. Can you get that? You know, you can't even get a hold of that. The Spirit has to help us to understand that. You are no longer a slave, but a son, and not a slave to the world, no more. Thank God we are not slaves to the world, but we are a son of God and an heir, praise God, through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Now I'd like you to turn with me to Romans, the 8th chapter, and let's read what he says there. We've got to get this really down strong. Romans, the 8th chapter. And we're going to read starting at the 16th verse. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. We're heirs of God. Heirs of God and joint heirs. Think of that now. joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We are heirs of God, heirs of God Almighty, and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. We're going to receive an inheritance along with him. Incredible. That inheritance, and Paul speaks of it in another verse, and he says in another verse that it is that we are as sons, that it is we are receiving the inheritance along with Christ and unspeakable. He uses the word unspeakable. You can't describe it. The inheritance is beyond the wildest imagination. You cannot imagine all that is going to be inherited for you. What God has planned for you, that you are now a son of Abraham, born of the seed of Christ, that you are now an inheritor along with Jesus Christ, what he is going to inherit, what Jesus Christ is going to inherit, you are going to inherit. Can you get a hold of that? God has to help us to understand that. Joint heirs with Jesus. We are standing in to receive the inheritance that Jesus receives. Incredible. You're a son of God. Praise God. Now, it is some of the things that one of the great men of the Bible, of course, one of the greatest of the Old Testament is Moses. And Hebrews describes Moses, what Moses turned down for Christ. It says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, how that Moses had rather have the reproach of Christ, this is the quoting it, than all of the treasures of Egypt. He turned down all of the treasures of Egypt and said, for because he'd rather suffer the reproach of Christ than inherit everything that Egypt had to offer. Can you grasp that? And God has to help us to understand what Moses turned down. Moses was Pharaoh's to inherit the kingdom. He was to be the king. He was at that point, then 40, right ready to step in to become the king of the greatest nation in the world at that time. Today, America may be considered the greatest nation in the world, and we don't have kings, thank God. But Egypt was then the greatest civilization, one of the greatest of all times. We still are going back to Cairo a few years ago. I was so tremendously impressed in visiting Cairo and seeing the tombs and going and getting a little background of Egypt. It was the greatest nation in the world. And all of the wealth of that nation, the greatest, everything that a man could imagine or desire, everything, honor, glory, wealth, as many wives as he could have wanted, everything was at his feet. The best in the world. The honor of no one even close to Moses. And Moses turned it down and said, greater riches are to be inherited, suffering with Christ. He said, and he says he had respect to the reward. Yes. Moses respected the reward that was coming and said, what is coming will make this nothing. Egypt and all the glory of Egypt, the greatest, the wealthiest, the most honored man in the world. You can't imagine how the kings of Egypt lived. And it was all given. And Moses turned it down and said, to suffer with Christ is so much greater than all that Egypt could ever have. Now, think of what Moses is going to get in that day. Can you imagine? Praise God, the inheritance that he will get when he receives all of his inheritance is coming. I don't know what it'll be, but I'm sure, I suspect that he'll be over Egypt. Praise God. I suspect that he'll have that and a lot more. And he won't be for a lifetime, 1,000 years. Praise God. You're right, at least. Praise God. That's because what you give up for Christ, you always get back. So that, I'm just suspecting that. Now, in the fourth chapter of Matthew, it tells us what Jesus turned down to take the cross. Satan took him to a high pinnacle, to a place, a high mountain, and showed him the kingdoms of the world, all of them. Satan said, now Moses had Egypt. Jesus had the whole world offered to him. All the kingdoms of the world will be yours. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. I'm taking the cross. Hallelujah. I'm going to take the cross instead. And someday, now Jesus in Revelation is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And you know what? He is going to rule and reign this universe. He's going to rule and reign all of this whole world. And we are going to rule and reign. We are going to be kings and priests with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And it will not be for us. Let's give God a hand in that. Hallelujah. And when Jesus Christ takes his inheritance, we are going to get it with him. We're going to get that inheritance along with him. And he says he's going to make us kings and priests. And we're going to rule and reign with him, first of all, for 1,000 years, just a brief 1,000 years, because eternity is going to be with us. Eternity. And there's no one, Paul says, in describing, he says, it is unutterable, it is unspeakable. There's no way to put it in words. Nobody has ever received in this world what you're going to receive being in Christ. Nobody. Nobody's ever had it. Nobody. Nobody ever living has ever received what you're going to receive just because you're in Christ. You're a son of God. You're a child of God. Now, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it interesting and marvelous that God said he didn't choose many of the rich. Said he didn't choose the rich. He chose the poor, mainly. He said some rich, a few rich, not many. But he has chosen the poor. He selected poor people, mainly. Not all the poor, just those that receive him. He takes the poor, and we're going to be the richest things that ever was in eternity. Rich for not for a few years. And it's like Jesus said, if you gain the whole world, you could have the whole world and lose your soul. It would be nothing, because whatever you gain here, you lose at the end of life. Paul said you didn't bring anything in this world, and you ain't taking anything out. You're going out the way you came, but in eternity, we'll have it forever. It'll be with you, never, never going to leave you. You are called a child of God Almighty, the Creator of the universe. And we are going to inherit it with Jesus Christ. And he's giving it to you, an inheritance that is incredible, that will not pass away. Whatever you inherit down here just lasts till the grave comes. And this life is so brief. Now, I've lived, if Jesus tarries and spares me a few more weeks till next month, I'll be 87 years old, and it's like nothing. And look, 87 years is like a wink. I look back over 20 years ago, I said, where did those 20 years go? It's gone so quickly. It's all going to be all over any time. It's all over. And thank God. Thank God I made a decision to serve God. And thank God you can make that decision. Now, life is uncertain. I've been given the gift of life, but it's uncertain. My brother was killed at 18. 18 years old. The strongest one of our family. Strong, powerful, working on the road in Texas. And went to work that morning, and in the afternoon he saw a boulder falling on two men that were in a pit. And he this was him. He was powerful. He jumped in that pit, took one man and threw him out, and knocked the other man out of the way. And just as he jumped, the boulder hit him. And he lived a few hours and said, never let my mother know what's happened to me. And he was gone, 18 years old. In the morning, a powerful young man, 18, sunset, gone. Your life It's a gamble. You don't have any guarantee of tomorrow. My own only daughter, 30 years old, went one night, had a close friend, and it was a terrible snowy night in January, and after a big snowstorm, and went to take her girlfriend home, come back, skidded on the ice, hit a tree, no seatbelt, my daughter dead. 3 o'clock in the morning, they called me. She died about 11 o'clock. But at 3, they came and told us. Because you can't, there's no guarantee. Isn't it crazy? Isn't this absolute insanity for people to listen to the devil when you don't have the guarantee of one day and you will sell eternity for something right here in time you don't even know if you'll be here tomorrow to get it? It's insanity for folks to listen to the devil, to tell them that, okay, look what I'll give you if you'll serve me. I'll give you pleasure, give you this, and you can live out, you can do no rules, and you can live a wild life or whatever he's telling you. Everybody that serves God has a test. Satan tests everybody. He tested Moses with all of Egypt, and Moses turned him down. Jesus Christ was tested. Do you think you aren't going to be tested? Everybody is tested. You have to lay it aside and make the decision like Moses made and Jesus made that it's going to pass away, and it's incredible what is waiting for you in God. Not to sell out for something in time you don't even know if you'll live another day to get it. Nobody has a guarantee of tomorrow. My daughter didn't have it. My brother didn't have it. You don't have it. Nobody has it. Your life is a gift every day. Every day it's a gift. And God has such a blessing. Here we have tears, here we have sorrow, but there he's going to wipe the tears away from our eyes. There will be no mixture. You know, this is a silly little illustration, but it makes a point. You know, it's like the man went to this nice, thought he was a nice restaurant, and he ordered a wonderful, beautiful bowl of soup, and he's there eating it, and he's enjoying it. He said, boy, this is great. And at the last spoonful, there's a big cockroach. And the cockroach is laying there with his stomach out and his arms outstretched. This great big cockroach is in the middle of the bowl. And now the soup makes him sick. Every bowl of soup the devil gives to you has a cockroach in it. Everything he gives makes you sick in the end. It's not what it seems. I want to do two things tonight to help you that are on the fence to make an eternal decision to grasp the inheritance, incredible inheritance, to grasp eternal life and the inheritance that goes with it and all that eternity has to offer you. I want you to make that decision. And secondly, those that are wavering, that are being tempted, I want you to make the commitment tonight, all the way. Put that commitment down. Everybody gets tempted. Everybody has a trial. Everybody. But you have to ask God, give me that strength and make up your mind. I'm going to commit my life to Him. My life is committed. I'm going to serve Him. And don't listen to the lies of the devil. I had to make that decision. I'll never forget the night I'd gotten saved. I had to make a decision to preach the gospel, to turn down my ambitions and all of my worldly ambitions. Now, see, sometimes when you're poor like I was, really poor, and everybody had more, all of your relatives and friends and the associates were way ahead of you, and I was we were at the bottom of the barrel. Really. I can never forget the Christmas. Christmas just passed. I was a boy, and my mother did the best she could. But all of my friends who had such great, whatever I had, theirs was so much better. Everything I had was, you know, it was the best they could do. And I looked at everybody's gifts, and I was so happy until I saw everybody else's gifts. And everybody's, mine was so small and so less. And I grew up feeling inferior. I can remember sitting in church with no shoes. And the fall of the year, and it's cold, and I put my feet under the seat in front of me in the pew so nobody could see I didn't have shoes on. And you go with an inferiority complex. And so I had such a determination that I'm going to come out of this, and I'm going to make something in this world, and I'm going to show that and then they made fun of my mother because we were Pentecostal. Besides that, besides all of being poverty stricken, we were crazy religious, you know, and so I was really anxious to come out of it. I can never forget when God said, "Lay all those ambitions down, son. Lay them down. Turn it loose. I want you to preach the gospel." Greatest decision after getting saved. And I, in a pile of tears on my face, I'll never forget the moment. I said, "Yes, yes." I've never regretted it. The devil's a liar, folks. He's a liar. He's lying to you. You've got to make the decision that I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to live what He wants me to do. Life is short. Believe me tonight. Listen to me tonight. It's short. Make a decision for eternity that will never end. Hallelujah. Let's give God a clap tonight. Hallelujah. Thank God He adopted us, chose you. Out of all of Earth's millions, He chose you. And that's why I like adoption, because it means that you had a past and God took you out of a family of Satan and adopted you. I remember I had a friend and some years ago, wonderful friend, very talented, great musician, great man of God, and his father was a professor at the University in Maine, and a really outstanding family. So he thought, boy, maybe I come from some great family. You know, his father was really intelligent. He was very talented. And so he said, I did a great big study on my family tree to see what great ancestors I had. He said, I found out that my ancestors were horse thieves. He said, and we got to this country because England dispelled us from England and sent us to America because we were thieves and they wanted to get rid of us. And he says, I didn't do any more. He said, Ben, I didn't do any more examining my past after that. He said, we were horse thieves. And you see, God chooses people, and God chose him for eternity. The horse thieves, you know. Praise God. He said, I'll take that one. You know, you can thank God if you've never been rich. Hard for rich people, the Bible says, to get saved. And he saves some. But he says, I chose the weak, the poor. And he chose you in eternity. I've been so blessed by this. I met some great Christians in some poverty-stricken areas of this country as I traveled over a big part of the world. And some of the poorest people are going to be great in eternity. Some of the great people now are going to be nothing. Most of them are lost, won't even be there. They're going to be in hell. But a few that are, it's going to reverse. You can thank God you were poor because you might not have been chosen. You might not have accepted the choice when you heard it. God chose you for greatness, for eternity, the great, the wealth, the glory, and it doesn't end. See, greatness down here ends at death. No matter what family you're in or who you are, it's going to end when you close your eyes. Man, it's all over. For this world, it's all over. But when you, if you know Jesus, there's no death. When you open up your eyes, you're going to be in heaven. You're going to be something for eternity. It's forever. And you are going to be something. And some of the poorest people you've ever met that are really great saints of God are going to be so great in eternity. And it won't be for a lifetime. It won't be for 1,000 years. It won't be for 1,000,000 years. It won't be for 1,000,000,000 years. It will be forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. You can thank God that He chose you, that He called you. Hallelujah. One boy was adopted, and this little boy, and he felt so bad when he came home from school. He said, "Mama, you know," he said, "I had, I was an adopted child," and I told him, "Who are your parents?" I said, "I'm adopted." He felt so bad. She said, "Son," his mother was so smart, she said, "Don't you ever feel bad." She said, "When those mothers went to the hospital, they had to take the baby that they gave them. They said, 'That's yours.' But said, 'I went through them all and I selected you. You are chosen.' They had to take what they got, but I had a choice and you were my choice. And I thank God that He looked through the town I was raised and said, 'I'll take him. Thank you, Jesus.' And He saw you. And He took you. And He said, 'I'll choose that one. I'm going to adopt that one for mine. I'm going to adopt you for mine.' And He said, 'I'm going to put you in as a child of Abraham.'" Read Genesis again and read Abraham and see who you are as a son of Abraham. Oh, hallelujah. I am so proud to be a part of Abraham and a descendant of Christ. Hallelujah. Don't you ever feel bad about being a Christian. Don't you ever hang your head down in shame. You're a son of God. Put your hand up and shout and give Him the glory and the praise. God Almighty chose you down through the ages. He said, "I'll take that one." Praise God. And it's God that keeps us. We don't keep ourselves. I look back and we sang that song, "Hold His Hand." I thought, that's wonderful. But I'd like to say, no, let Him hold your hand. It's a lot better if He holds your hand, and He has to hold your hand. Really, you can't hold His. He holds your hand. Praise God. Because I wouldn't have made it if I'd been holding on to Him. I don't have that. But all you got to do is just let Him have your hand. Just give Him your hand. And He'll take you through. Hallelujah. He'll bring you through. He'll take you through. And He's going to bring you to that glorious. How thrilled to be part of the kingdom of God. Paul said it's unspeakable, undescribable, impossible to picture. The wealth of the world is nothing. Jesus said all the wealth of the whole world is nothing compared to what you'll have in eternity. This life is totally uncertain, temporal, ends in death. It's all going to end. That life is permanent, permanent, forever, eternal, no dying, no funerals, no death, no sorrow, no hospitals, no sickness, no pain, no crying, no poverty, no poverty. Greatness, joy, peace, eternity, closeness with God forever and ever and ever. There's no way for me to describe it. It can't be described. And it's a gift. It's a gift. He chose you. And you can have him choose you. You know, you have the possibility. Now, if you're here tonight and you have not made a clear decision to serve God, let me tell you something. Tonight is your night. You know why? You think, I'll go when I want to. No, you can't. You can't do that. Because when you resist the Spirit, you weaken the power of the Spirit to convict you and to call you. It isn't that God couldn't forgive you later. It's that you can't repent later. You are going to lose the ability to repent. You're going to lose the ability to accept him. Satan knows that. That's why he says put it off. Because he knows if you can keep putting it off, you won't make it. He's got you. You have to. When the Spirit speaks to you, you've got to move with it and say, yes, he'll take you through. Now, don't keep playing with God. Say yes to God. Ask him to give you that strength tonight. I'm going to end with just one story of what it's going to be like. I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Revelation and the 19th chapter of book of Revelation. Praise God. 19, starting at this sixth verse. And I heard, John, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. And it was as the sound of many waters, great waters, and as the sound of mighty rolling thunders. The sound of these voices singing, hallelujah, hallelujah, singing. I heard the singing that was incredible. And they were singing, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. God has taken over. He's reigning forever. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For what is this celebration? The marriage of the Lamb has come. And his bride has made herself ready. If you're in Christ tonight, you're going to be in the bride. You know, all of us are sons. Men and women are called sons. And here, all of us, we're all called part of the bride. We are that close, the closest relationship to Jesus that anybody could have. We are the bride of Christ. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. No royal wedding of England, no royal wedding of Rome, of the Roman, no wedding ever came close to the music, to the sounds, to that great wedding. John the Baptist won't be part of the bride. He said, I'm a friend of the bridegroom, and I rejoice to hear him. He's not going to be in it. We're going to be the bride. They're going to be attendants, part of the ceremony, but not in the bride. We are in the bride. We are called the Gentile bride of Christ. There's no way in the world I can describe it. Can't be described. The honor, the position that the whole universe of eternity is going to watch as we are presented the bride of Christ. Incredible. I thank God, thank you, Jesus, that I can be part of that bride. I'm going to be there. The singing. There's never been any music in the world that's going to be like the music we're going to have. I remember when my Aunt Betty died, she said to her papa, to my grandfather, Papa, can you hear the music? Can you hear it, Papa? He said, no, Betty, I can't hear it. She said, I hear the most beautiful music that I've ever heard. Never heard music like this. The music of heaven. The music when we walk in and we are robed and joined with Jesus Christ. No divorce in heaven. We're going to be joined with him for eternity, 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 eternity. And you would reject it? And you would let Satan give you a bowl of soup full of cockroaches? Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. Make the commitment. If you're on the verge, when we stand tonight, I want you to come down here. And we're going to pray for you. And God's going to help you to make that commitment. Because God is inviting you to be part of that bride. It's your invitation. Come, make that surrender. Take his righteousness. Come on, let's stand together. And I want you to come down. If you're questioning, I want you to come down here and make the decision. Make it final. That I am going to be Christ. I'm going to serve him. Praise God. Come on down. Come on down to the front here and make that decision. If you've been on the fence, come on down and make that decision. Come on down here and let's pray for you tonight. Come on down. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. If the Holy Spirit is talking to you, get down here and stand in the front and let us pray with you tonight. Let's ask God to help you tonight. If you're struggling tonight, come on down here tonight and ask God to help me to make that decision that I am not going to turn my back on you and I'm not going to listen to the lies of Satan and I'm not going to listen to the voice of the devil and the voice of the flesh and the voice that is calling me from the world. Come on down and stand here in the front and let's pray together and make an eternal commitment. Come on. Come on down. If you're halfway, come on down. If you're struggling, don't be ashamed of it. I want God to give you the strength. I want the strength tonight to make the commitment. Come on. Come on down and stand in the front here and let's reach out to heaven tonight. Let's let God touch us tonight. Hallelujah. Get a vision of what it's all about. Get a glimpse of it. Hallelujah. Come on down and fill this place here and let's seek him together. If you're on the fence, get on his side tonight. If you're halfway, get all the way tonight. If you're struggling, come down and let God give you the power and the strength tonight to go all the way for him. Come on as we sing. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Just a few more days, that's all it is. This life that we're living today, just a few more days, then you and I will be in that place that Pastor Ben spoke about tonight. Joy that's unspeakable. Paul the Apostle was lifted up into a certain place in God where he said, I saw things that are not lawful to write. I don't think there are words to describe them. I don't think it's lawful because there's nothing in any language that describes it. You couldn't put it into words. It would fall short of the glory of God. And it's yours and it's mine. And I'm not willing to trade that for anything that this world has got to offer. Thank God. One day you and I will be there. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank God. Lord, we heard tonight that it is you who takes our hand. And so, Lord, I'm asking, Father, for these who have come to this altar, for every one of us, Lord, who have the sense to pray this tonight, that, Lord, as we lift our hearts to you and our hands to you, Lord, that you simply take us by the hand and give us the wisdom and the courage and the eyes to see and the heart to embrace these great truths, Lord. Father God, lift us out of the realm of just living and by what we naturally see. Oh God, you have to open our ears to heavenly reality, to what is really real around us, what will last for eternity. Jesus, Son of God, deliver us as your people from the discontent that wants to find a living place in so many of our hearts, the sense that if we just had this, we'd be happy. Lord, we have the inheritance of Jesus Christ. We have the fullness of everything that God has for those that he's created in his own image. I thank you, Lord, for this great truth and the gladness that it brings to our heart. Lord, give us the grace not to give up, not to quit, not to give in to despair, not to believe the lies of the devil when he tries to tell us we have nothing and are going nowhere. He has nothing. He's going nowhere. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for joy. Lord, it will be the mark of your people in these days. I ask you for joy for every true believer in Christ and the courage and conviction to step away from that which blinds us and takes away our song. Every practice, all relationships, everything, every place that we go where we shouldn't be, everything we say that we shouldn't, take us out of these things, take us by the hand and lead us into freedom. Father, we thank you for this with all our heart tonight. Oh God, give us something to say to this generation. Give us a song to sing to it, oh God. Give us eyes to see something so far beyond that one day people will come and say, give us of your oil. Tell us, where did you get this strength? Where did you find this song? Where did you get such gladness in your heart? How do I get that? Lord God, let that be our portion. And Father, we thank you for this, Lord. Thank you, God Almighty, that you'll give strength to those who need it tonight. Lord, put a resolve in us to walk with you. A deep inner resolve that this is not a game. This is not an altar where I just come and dump my bad feelings. I'm going to walk with God all the days of my life. Let it be deep in the heart. Father, I thank you, Lord. You bring every one of us to that place where we finally say those words, it's all or nothing. God, you give us all. Lord, you will never fail those who put their confidence in you. Never, never, never. No matter how weak we are, no matter how little strength we have, you will never fail us. You will carry us. You'll walk with us, Lord. You'll provide for us. Father, we thank you for it. With everything in us, Lord, we walk out of this sanctuary tonight with an assurance that our future is secure. We're in the hand of God. We have a reason to live. We have a purpose to sing. Lord God, you have given something for each of our lives, and we thank you for it. We thank you, Father, and we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah.